walked into the church this morning, and I went down the back hallway, and I thought, oh my goodness. And I had to walk from the back hallway all the way down and out. And I put both of my hands on the walls, literally touched the walls as I walked down the hallway. And I said, the anointing is in the walls. The glory is in the walls. This place is saturated with the Holy Spirit. The building is sanctified. The building is consecrated. I mean, it's holy ground. It's that consecrated to the Lord, where even the physical building is saturated with His presence. Oh, hallelujah. That's rare too. There's so much I need to say today. You don't even know. You don't even know, okay? As I come in here today, we are in a two-week window right now, and I just want to share with you how significant prophetic this offering was and is today, what you have done. We are in a two-week window where I had a donor contact me and said, Matt, everything that is given in this two-week window, I'm going to double it. So you don't even know what you just did, okay? But here's the thing. This morning, I was in prayer in my hotel, and I was reconsecrating the ministry, the children, the rescue ministry we have that we do as an outreach. I was consecrating it to God, and I was saying, Lord, I want to be even more generous with these children. I want to help even more. And I was telling the Lord, this is my decision. This is what we're going to do. So then I come in here this morning, and this happens. And here's the amazing thing. If you have ever had it in your heart to help a child, I'm talking about a kid that has been locked in a room, enslaved, sold out to 20 people a day. Some of our children, they have been sold by grandmothers, okay? You're talking about family members, sold by uncles. We're talking about little children that right now, we're not just providing a loving, safe home and food and clothing and physical care, but even psychological treatment and trauma treatment and all this other stuff that goes along with being trafficked as a child. Can't even imagine the process here. But this is what we invest into. And this donor also said to me, Matt, I want to help you in your monthly support with this home, because we've recently expanded 3 new homes, okay? And the director said, Matt, we need $50,000 a year for this. This is the lack. And I said, okay, I'm going to believe God for it, and let's believe God for it. So this is like where our faith is going. And the donor said, Matt, anyone that commits in the next 2 weeks, even to support a child on a monthly basis, like a recurring type of thing, I'm going to double that every single month. So if you have ever wanted to help in this type of area, now's the time, please. Now's the time, because what you do is going to get doubled, and it's going to double the impact for more kids, okay? So, but this is blowing me away. It's blowing me away. You know, it was 2 weeks ago. I come home, and it was in my heart for my son, Braden. He's 8 years old. It was in my heart to buy him a little gift. It was a little something, and I gave it to him. And he looks at me as an 8-year-old kid, and he says, Daddy, thank you so much. It was like a little thing of cards. It was simple, right? Oh, Daddy, thank you so much. I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative to you for giving me this. I mean, I was like, what? Like, he was so appreciative. He said, I want to do something for you. And I said, no, you don't have to do anything for me. This is just my little gift for you. And he said, no, I have to. I want to. And he runs upstairs to his room. Okay, and he comes out over to the balcony. He says, Daddy, come here. So I go up under the balcony. I look up where he is, and he says, Daddy, it's raining money on you. And he threw all of his money. Okay, now look, this was his birthday money. This was his lemonade stand money. This was money he had saved all year long for something. And he says, Daddy, it's raining money on you. And he threw all of his money down and started raining on me. And then my second son, my 6-year-old, says, I'm going to do it too. And he runs to his piggy bank, gets all his cash, throws, Daddy, it's raining more money on you. And it just was raining down over me. And I felt like it was a prophetic picture, a message from the heart of the Father, where God was saying, Matt, you have sacrificed, you have gone without, but I am going to provide for you and I'm going to rain blessing on you. And I feel like it's not just a word for me. I feel like it's a word for the body, that every act of obedience, every sacrifice you have made for the kingdom, every time you have sought first the kingdom of God, every single time you have prioritized, you have left houses, you have left this, you have left that, you've sacrificed over the kingdom in this age, in this life, even more, God's going to add back to you. And I just feel we're in a season of raining where God is going to rain down divine provision upon you, that because of your heart, it's because of the heart and because of your obedience, God's going to rain it down upon you. More than enough. More than what you can contain. Just favor from the Lord resting on you, like a raining of favor upon you. Whoa, you're going to walk in a divine supernatural dimension of a raining favor where it's going to be like the goodness and mercy of God's going to follow you and overtake you all the days of your life. It's going to be the blessing of God that is going to overtake you and your family and your children and your children's children. There's going to be legacy. There's going to be a lineage of blessing that goes down your family line. Oh, we're in a season of raining and raining. You know what I'm saying? Like raining in heavenly places and raining down upon us from the Lord, his blessing, his favor, the open doors that only he can open for you, the divine positioning, the strategy, the alignment. We're in a season of such supernatural alignment. God's going to make sure you're in the right place at the right time. It is a season of open doors. Get ready for your open door. Get ready for your open door. You're going to turn the knob. It's going to open. You're going to walk through it. God's going to anoint you with fresh anointing for that open door, and even to move into that new, everyone say new, to walk in through that new open door, get ready, because it's going to pull you out of every comfort zone you've known. It's going to pull you out of every little comfort zone you've been sitting in, like, I'm just blessed and happy. And God's like, yeah, you're blessed and you are happy, but you're going to step out of your comfort zone and step through some new doors and do some new things and have some fresh oil and some fresh anointing for this new season of your life. Oh, my goodness. And I'm telling you, I saw again, it was in this house years ago. I saw the vision of the awakening of the body of Christ. And I saw the heart of the awakening in Texas. I saw it. I saw the heartbeat in Texas. And I saw the heart beating and the heart awakening and this massive body and army rising in this nation. We are in the season right now. We are in the Ezekiel season where the fresh breath of God is blowing, where the winds of heaven are coming upon the church. And I tell you, I see the Lord. I saw it this morning, God blowing out all the dust. God's clearing the dust out of his house. He's clearing all the dust, the debris. He's clearing it out. And in the process, mighty bones are coming together and a mighty army is rising up, and it's going to be full of power, full of glory. It's going to be an army that is radiating the glory and heart and nature and power of the Father. Of the Father. Yeah, the body, the army is going to represent the Father. We're going to see the Father in the church because we're in his image. You're made in his image. Yeah, so we're in a season of Ezekiel where there definitely is alignment happening and there is an army that's rising up and it's going to be a very powerful, anointed, glory-filled army. All the dust is coming off. You're going to be clothed with new garments. I see the Lord putting new garments on this body, new garments even on the army, and they're going to be shiny, clean, radiant, glory-filled, light-filled garments where the enemy's not going to be able to come near the church. It's going to be the type of authority that takes possession, the type of authority. It's like a kingdom come. It's like your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to be a kingdom come authority where everywhere you go, you're going to establish the kingdom. You're going to establish the reigning rule of God. You're going to establish the authority, the influence of the kingdom. So I saw the army, then I saw the waters flowing out of our belly, and I saw I saw rivers. I did. I saw rivers flowing out of our belly. Oh, it's the time of fresh rivers. It's the time of living waters. It's the time where the river's going to flow like never before. And it's not going to be just in one spot. You're going to carry the river everywhere you go. It's going to flow out of you. And wherever the river goes, healing, life. I mean, it's just going to be saturation. Like, you're going to be saturated with the river. You're going to swim in the river. You're going to flow in the river, and the river's going to flow out of you. You're going to be saturated in a fresh way with God's presence. You're going to be so aware of Him. I'm telling you, I prophesy it right now. There is coming a new heightened awareness of the presence of God. It's not just going to be, I believe by faith, just because I believe, but it's going to be an awareness of God, an awareness that awakens hearts, an awareness that brings souls to salvation, an awareness that causes us to be so beholding His image that we're going to be so transformed. It's like I just see like the Richter scale, like it's going off the Richter scale. It's just, God's just going to boom, show up, and it's going to be such a heightened awareness of Him. You're going to be aware of Him everywhere you go, in your car, in your house, when you're there. It's just going to be, how many receive it? We receive it. We receive it. Now, I want to start in Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, it says this in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated you and I set you apart, consecrating you. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, say not. Everyone say, say not. Say not, I am only a youth. For you shall go to all whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid. Everyone say, be not afraid. I'm telling you, we're in a season where God is stripping off and removing every ounce of fear from the body of Christ. He's removing every ounce of fear from our hearts, from our minds. You are going to be anxious for nothing. You are going to have no worry, no fear, no doubt, no concern that is going to fill your heart and mind. God is removing that. He said, it goes on to say, say not, I'm only a youth. You will go to all whom I send you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. I'm with you to deliver you. You see, Jeremiah was afraid of his assignment. He was afraid of what God was calling him to do. And God said, Don't you worry, Jeremiah, because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to deliver you in the process. Look, sometimes when God is calling you, sending you, anointing you, He delivers you in the process. And He says to you, you're not alone. I am with you in this. You might not feel capable, but I'm with you in it, and I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you from every hindrance, every fear, everything you think, every mindset you have that is limiting you right now. I'm going to deliver you as you go, as I send you. You're going to experience breakthrough and freedom. And many times that's how it happens. As you step, as you go, as you turn the knob on that door, as you step with trepidation, God delivers you. Because then you get the revelation. He's with you. He's in you. He's on you. He's around you. And it's not about you. It's all about Him. And if He's with you, you can do anything He's called you to do. You could go anywhere He calls you to go if He is with you. Like Moses said, don't send us up from here if you don't go with us, if your presence is not with us. But when His presence is with you, you can be bold as a lion, free from fear, woo, and delivered by the power of God. I'm with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth His hand, touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms, to root out and pull down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to build and to plant. And then verse 12, then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. I'm watching over my word. Now, do you remember when I was here in January, part of the message I brought, a part of it, was about we are in the decade of pay. The decade of the mouth, the words that we speak. Right? Not just a year, but a decade. A decade is a 10-year marking of time. It's a season of time where God is saying, and he's reaffirming it, that it is very, very important we get revelation on understanding the power and authority of the words of our mouth. Okay? So God's going to give us a lot of self-control. He's going to give us a lot of self-control, because if a man can control his mouth, he can control everything in his life. The Bible says you get control over what comes out of your mouth, what you're speaking, what you're declaring, what you're conversing about. God says you can be a perfect man, fully mature, fully grown up, fully mature in the things of the Spirit, fully mature in your identity in God. So he says, I'm going to put my word in your mouth, and because I'm putting my word in your mouth, now you are going to have authority to root out and pull down, to overthrow every demonic structure that the enemy has built, and in its place to build and to plant. You're going to build. You're going to overthrow, and you're going to build. How is the powers of darkness overthrown, the kingdoms of this world, the prince of the power of the air, how is he overthrown? And how is the kingdom built? It's by God putting his word in our mouth. Because God is watching over to perform his word. He's watching over it. In fact, even angels stand on assignment waiting for the word to come out of your mouth. Waiting for you to speak, not just think, but speak. And then they hearken to that word. They hearken to the voice of the word of God, which means they will carry forth God's agenda as his word comes out of your mouth. So you see, you have authority to uproot. You have authority, okay? If the enemy in the past has tried to build strongholds in your life, or tried to build strongholds in your children or grandchildren, you have authority, or even strongholds in your region or strongholds in your nation. You have authority as God's word is put in your mouth to speak it out and to pull out, uproot, and overthrow every demonic structure. And in its place, see the kingdom built and established. And it starts with what comes out of our mouth. It really starts by what comes out of our mouth. And this is authority. So now, this is so important. For some of us, our breakthrough is right on the other side of what's coming out of our mouth. The breakthrough is on the other side of what comes out of your mouth. Because there's always harvest. You know this, right? Words are never neutral. Words are containers of power. Words release something in the spirit. Either faith or fear, doubt and unbelief, or faith and breakthrough. Every word that we speak, now even in our conversation, it is releasing an influence into the realm of the spirit. And then into the natural, because in the spirit and then in the natural. And, you know, last year, I want to share an example of this that has brought massive breakthrough in my family. Okay? Last year, it was last July. So we are on the one-year anniversary of this. It was last July. My wife, Stephanie, our youngest boy was 6 months old. And we had a new baby, 3 kids. And my wife comes to me. Stephanie comes to me. And she comes to me in the kitchen. And she says, Matt, I don't know what this is, but I feel like something is breaking in my body. And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? She said, I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. I can't quite articulate it, but it feels like something is breaking in my body. And I said, okay, well, let's just watch and pray. And I didn't really know what to say. Well, it would be maybe a few weeks later. We were on our family week vacation together that something broke in her body. And we didn't know what it was at first, but something broke in her body and sent her into a 2-month migraine. I'm not talking about a one-day migraine. I'm talking about a migraine pain that would not leave for 2 months. We went to MRIs and x-rays and shots in the back of her neck and medications and pills and all sorts of stuff. The doctor was trying to figure out. No one could figure out. Everything looked fine. They could not understand why this was happening to her. So, you know, she's researching and studying and trying to understand what's happening in her body with praying. And I find that over the months of this pain that we start, you know, putting a name on it. And we start saying, oh, you have this or you have that. And we start naming it and we start speaking it out in our conversation without even realizing it, in a sense, identifying it, but then also reinforcing it. And saying, oh, you have this, you have that. And in our conversation, we're speaking out, you have this. And then it was, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart one day and he said, Matt, you need to stop saying she has this. You need to stop it. And I said, well, what do you mean, God? We're just talking about it. He said, no, you need to stop this. You need to replace it with a scripture. You know in the natural what she's dealing with, but now you have to change what you're saying. And you have to start speaking over her, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, or by his stripes, you are healed. And I said to her, even if you can't say right now, I am healed, say you are being healed. We need to start shifting how we speak. And I said, we're going to start to say every day, by his stripes, you are healed, I am being healed. And we started to shift the words. Didn't change the reality instantly, but we started shifting the words. Now, we did this for, I don't know, a few weeks. And the Lord, okay, this is how God works. Because when the scripture and when prophetic decree comes out of your mouth consistently, it's not just about one time. Consistency. You know this, right? Consistency is what brings breakthrough. Consistency, little things consistent, is what brings the transformation, right? So this, we're consistent in it. And then she stumbles across a doctor 15 minutes away from us that was an expert in the base of the skull and spine. And he was able to catch something that none of the other doctors saw. The MRIs couldn't see it. The x-rays couldn't see it. But he knew exactly what it was. And we have come to understand that when she was a little girl, okay, she fell backwards and got a concussion on the back of her head. And something at that young age got thrown out in her spine. The very base vertebrae was tilted sideways. She lived with it her whole life. No one knew it happened. She lived with chronic migraines her whole life. Just thought it was inherited, generational, whatever. But the migraines would come and go. It would be like a day and then gone, you know. And normal, kind of normal if you have migraines. So, anyway, the doctor was able to identify what was at the base, and he just tapped it psh, 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 like that, put it right, just slight adjustment like that, and I'm telling you, her migraines are gone. Gone. And the doctor said, you won't have any more migraines the rest of your life. And I thought, God, how amazing that you took such a horrible trial and painful experience, but you used it to set my wife on a course of hell for the rest of her life. So the chronicness of it is gone. The source was identified. But you see, all of that was set into motion when we started to change what we would speak. It set things into motion. It aligned our path. So here we are 1 year later, and her body is healing. So not only is her spine in place now, the migraines are gone, but everything else through her back, everything's coming into divine order. Everything's lining up. Everything's coming into a place of healing. And it really did start with the words that we speak. Yes. Hallelujah. How many are ready to step into the new? Okay, because another scripture, Isaiah 43, it said, now I'm going to start in verse 18 here. It says, do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Everyone say now. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I am doing a new thing. God's like, hey, behold, listen, I'm getting your attention. I want you to understand, discern, and see. I want you to be aware of this. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Church, this is the prophetic season we are in right now. God is saying, I am doing a new thing. Don't get distracted by this thing. Don't get distracted by that thing. God is saying, I am doing a new thing. He is doing a new thing. He is doing a new thing. And he's making a river in the desert, living waters in the desert, and a way in the wilderness. A path in the wilderness. Oh, hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you what that means. It means that every difficult moment, every wilderness moment, every dry or desert or trial place, anything you would consider a trial, God is saying, I'm shifting you out of the season of trial. I'm shifting the season from a season of trial into a new season where you're going to walk into the new. This is what he is saying over this time right now. Oh, we are in a shift right now. We are in a shift, a shift, a shift. And he's making a way in the wilderness, which means in the most difficult, painful things you've had to face, contend, or deal with. God is saying right in the middle of that, right in the midst of that, I am going to show you the way into the new. Now, you know, okay, this last month, I was ministering at a Bible camp in the mountains of Montana, and I was out one day prayer walking. And as I was prayer walking, I thought back, like my mind started going back over my life. And I thought back to like 30 years ago when I first was in ministry and the first 5 years I pastored. And I just thought, I'm not going to go into the details this morning, but I just thought about some traumatic things I went through, some very painful, hurtful things I went through. And I asked God, you know, now I know. Okay, I've analyzed this, prayed over it for years, and I'm like, God, during that season of my life, you made my roots go deep, you developed my character, you taught me to love, you taught me to forgive, you taught me to walk in humility. Great character was developed in me that I've carried with me for my whole life, and that's great. But God, why? Why? I mean, yes, great, I'm so glad that I learned to love and forgive, but why, God? Why did I have to go through that? Why'd you put me there? Why? You could have developed character a different way, you know? I could have just loved a different way, God, you know? Why? And I still, 30 years, I mean, 25 years later, I'm like, God, why? I still don't get it. And God gave me a revelation. Look, sometimes we're so close to our problem and we're focused on the problem and you got to step back to get a panoramic view. You got to step back to be able to see it from a different perspective, see it how God sees it. Sometimes we get so close to the mountain, it looks so insurmountable and God's like, no, take a step back from that mountain because the further you go back, the smaller the mountain becomes. It becomes a speed bump and you're able to go over it. It doesn't stop you. Doesn't make you stuck. And I was stuck even 25 years later. I'm still asking God, why? Why did that have to be part of your plan for me, God? I know you love me. You're a good father and you wouldn't do those things, but you let me walk through it. So the Lord spoke to me. But it requires the spirit of revelation to be able to see something from a whole different perspective. It really does because we get so stuck in how we see things. We get so stuck. And God said to me, man, it wasn't about that moment. It wasn't about that leader. It wasn't about that location. It wasn't about what you were going through at that moment. It was about where you were going. It wasn't about that person. It was the whole that time period of your life. It wasn't even about just what was happening and where you were. and the pain you will go. Look, I went through stuff where I was at the heart doctor at 26, 27 years old. I'm in the heart doctor. I'm doing heart tests because my heart's not beating right. But my body was telling me you are under extreme stress and trauma. And it was showing in my body. Your body will talk to you. And I was going through extreme stress and trauma to the point where my heart was being physically affected and overwhelmed by it. But I just thought, you know, oh, my 25-year-old self with no experience and no perspective and no bigger grid. It was like, this is normal and this is how it's supposed to be. And this is where God has put me. So, yes, you know, I have to go through the, you know, I look at it now. And it's like, yes, I, you know, back then I'm like, okay, this is normal. But now I look at it from my perspective here, and I'm like, actually, that was abuse. Actually, that was traumatic. Actually, that was not godly. Actually, that was not the Lord. And I see it very differently now than my 25-year-old self. Very, very differently. But at the time, I'm walking through it, and God said, Matt, that was not about that time, that location, those people. It was about where you were going. And then the Lord started to flash images before me. And he said, Matt, realize, because you were in that church, okay, you met so-and-so over here. And by meeting so-and-so over here, it connected you to what we know as the call. Remember the call with Lou Engel, the mass gatherings of prayer and fasting? It connected you to the call. And made you a coordinator in the call. That connected you to Lou Engel, where at the end of the call, he looked at me and he said, Matt, go for it. Go for it. Everything God's put in your heart, go for it. And he was the first leader in my life to actually say something positive to me. To actually believe in me and say, go for it. Because the leadership I was under, if God used me at all, it was, oh, don't think too much of yourself. Oh, don't think you're that great. Oh, that. And it was just, and then all of a sudden, this voice of life comes to me, and I'm like, go for it. I can go for it. I can really believe God. Right? And it was because I was in that location that I also got exposed to another prophetic teaching ministry that I would sit under, and then I would buy all their resources, and God would use it in private to mentor me in prophetic teaching, mentor me in the flow of the Holy Spirit. I started seeing all these flashes of key things that came into my life because I was where I was. I was so focused on the pain that I was not seeing the bigger picture. And then it would be in that location, another ministry would come through and utilize our church facility because we were one of the biggest churches in New York and we could, I don't know, fit like 700, 800 people. And they were doing a women's conference and I was in the balcony with the janitor just watching. And the woman stops, the prophetic, you know her name. She stops and she calls me out and she prophesies right in the front of all the leadership, in front of everyone, my call to the nations and the miracles that we would see and where God was sending me. And I got electrocuted by the power of God, slammed on the floor and commissioned by God. And the Lord showed me more things, that all these things, man. Because you were there, yes, it was hard. Yes, it was difficult. Yes, it was painful. But I was strategically positioning you to align you, to connect you, to launch you into where I was sending you. And what you thought and believed was under the control of man was actually not under the control of man. It was under my control and my influence. And no demon, no person, no circumstance could stop what I was doing. And then out I went. Whew. It's like Joseph in the dungeon. It wasn't about Joseph just being in the dungeon. That was divine positioning so Joseph would be connected to the right people to get him to where God was sending him. It wasn't just about being in the dungeon. Did God work character in him in the dungeon? I'm sure. I'm sure he did. Did God work character in David when Saul was throwing spears at him? I'm sure he did. I'm sure there was a lot of character refinement going on. But, you know, it's not, with David getting spears thrown, it wasn't about just being around the spear thrower or the one that was so jealous of him, he just wanted to take him out and kill him. It wasn't about that. It was about where David was going. He had been anointed to be king over Israel and to lead the nation. That it was about where he was going. So some of the pain and some of the things that you have walked through in your life, it's not just about those things. But even in that time period of your life, God was aligning things and strategizing things and putting things in place so that you would ultimately get to where he had called you to be. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? Because you know what it means? It means God really does work all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It really does mean that. Even the painful things, even the traumatic things you've had to walk through in your life, God will still use it for good. Now, you may be walking through the process right now, okay? Because now looking back on this, God has given me perspective that has really set my heart free. Set my heart free, changed my whole perspective on it. But you may be in something right now. And I've been walking through something in the last 2 years that I'm not out of the other side yet. Okay? Anyone walking through something, you're not, you still, your brain is still trying to figure it out. You're like, God, what good is going to come from this? I can't see how this can ever work for something good. I can't see it. And that's kind of where I am with something right now. I'm like, God, I can't see it. My mind cannot fabricate or understand how this is ever going to work. Anything good. Right? But I think back on what God has done, and I think back on his heart, his nature, his character, his faithfulness, and I'm able to say, God, I don't see it yet, but I know you're going to give me revelation as I walk this all the way out. I'm going to have an aha moment to realize what you were doing. So you know what it means? It means that even while you're walking through a storm, you can rest. You can rest. Because another word God is speaking, he's saying learn to abide in rest. Learn to step out of the striving, out of the worrying, out of the fear, and enter rest. You see, because when you can see, when you trust, okay, when you trust the heart of God, you trust the nature of God, you trust God in your life, it will put your spirit into that position of rest. So that you can be in the boat with the storm and be sleeping. Why? Because you are trusting God that he's not going to let anything take you out. He's not going to let anything stop his good plan for your life. So even with storms around you, you can be in a place of rest. So, hallelujah, even though I may have some storms around me, guess what? My heart is at rest. My spirit is at peace. I'm like, devil, you're not going to rob my joy. You're not going to rob my peace. You're not going to take my quality of life. I am a son of God. I am highly favored. I am under the hand of God. He is protecting me. He's watching over me. He's anointing me. And I'm not going to let you, devil, rob 1 second. Because I'm going to redeem the time. And part of redeeming the time is not losing the quality of the time that God gives you. God has given you time, the most precious thing. Don't waste your time worrying. Don't waste your time fretting. Don't waste your time offended and angry and filled with negative conversation. Because you're just losing the time. But redeem the time. Redeem evil days. Redeem it when storms are happening. You're like, okay, that storm is out there, but it's not getting in here. There's peace in here. There's rest in here. So we're going to enter into the rest of God. We're going to live from a place of divine rest. And there's an invitation from the Lord. He's saying, come into my rest. Enter into my rest. Oh, it's a great place to live. It's a great place to dwell, right? But part of this new thing, because if we're going to step into the new, we have to let go of the old. Because if you don't let go of the old, it will weigh you down, it will slow you down, and it will keep you from fully accessing the acceleration and the speed and the momentum that God wants to give you. Because you're carrying stuff. God is saying, stop carrying that. Stop carrying that. It's slowing you down. It's distracting you. It's taking your focus in the wrong place. And I'm telling you, God gave me a key that changed my life. Changed my life. I'm talking freedom, freedom, freedom. Okay, now look. We've already said there's power in all words. We've already said life and death are in the power of the tongue. We've already said we need to be speaking God's scripture, right? We've already said that today, right? Now, let me flip the coin and just talk it from a slightly different perspective, okay? Because let's say something traumatic does happen. Let's say someone hurts you. Let's say something wrong, really wrong happens to you. And you are, you're like, Jesus, vengeance, Jesus, get up. You know, you're just like, Okay, look, life happens. People happen. Demons in people happen. Yeah. Demons in people happen. Okay? And those demons and people are going to want to try to affect you. Okay? They may come at you. They may throw their darts. They may do stuff that gets you upset, frustrated, and like, Okay? So if something happens, let's say something happened in your childhood. I mean, this can cover any gamut of spectrum of trauma in your life. Okay? Now I'm going to say this. Stuffing it down and never talking about it does not help you. Okay, I'm not going to go to the extreme and say you can only speak positive in scripture and never address a trauma, a pain, or a true injustice in your life. Okay, oh, I can't talk about it. Can't talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. Old things are new. Old things are gone. I'm not going to talk about it. It is stuffed away somewhere. I'm not looking at it. I'm not talking about it. I'm not addressing it because I'm new, right? But if you don't address it, it stays there. It's in there somewhere. It can affect your physical body. It can create fight or flight mechanisms within you that are never dealt with, where your body stays in a state of stress that is affecting your nervous system, affecting your body, affecting your organ. I mean, this stuff, when stuff stays in and you never talk, it stays in. And it will show up in other ways. It will show up, okay? So I'm not saying never say something negative, right? But you do, okay? Look, you gotta sometimes speak it. You gotta address it. You gotta identify it, okay? You gotta get it out. And it's a venting process. And it's part of, okay, what is this? Why is this important? Because, number one, it's going to help you identify what really happened. It's gonna help you process the emotions of it. But here's the thing. Some people get into that mode and they get stuck there. Okay? And what happens is they go into a loop cycle. You know what that is? It's when they rehearse and they talk about something over and over and over again. It could be 20 years later and it is still coming up in conversation. You every now and then it comes back up and you have a great hour conversation about that same thing that happened over and you get stuck in the trauma loop. It's a trauma loop. Okay, so now here's what happens. Okay, I feel like God designed it this way, that when we speak and we get it out and we express, okay, what's happening is your God intends it for healing. He intends it for cleansing. He intends it for perspective. He intends it for you to be able to analyze something that happened in your life so that you can ultimately say to yourself, and this is where the shift happens, not that this happened, but what good can I take and learn from it? Even something really bad, God, somewhere in there is something I can learn that is really valuable for me. And maybe it's learning I need to set better boundaries in my life. Maybe it's learning your opinion doesn't define my identity. There's lots of good things you can learn through traumatic experiences. And God wants you to get those nuggets. He wants you to learn those truths and then take them and then come to a conclusion, okay? Because if you never come to a conclusion, you get stuck in the cycle, and you repeat it over and over again. Science has proven that when you constantly repeat out of your mouth through storytelling a negative experience in your life, it gets ingrained in the neural pathways in your mind, and it can get so ingrained within your thought patterns that it becomes a part of your identity. Okay, so talking was never meant to be a landing place. It's meant to be a bridge that brings you somewhere into a place of wholeness and freedom. So now how do you know that you have crossed the line from venting and talking and processing and learning to now what they call rumination or rehearse. I call it rehearsing. Now you're rehearsing it. You're just saying it over and over again. Now you're rehearsing it. Now you're ingraining it. Now you're making the trauma deeper. You're making it deeper in your mind and in your soul. You're reliving it over and over and over again. Okay, how do you know you've crossed that line? Because when you tell the story or when you share it, it does not help you. It does not give you more revelation of truth. It does not make you feel better. It makes you feel worse. It doesn't make you feel more peaceful. It makes you feel more angry. That is when you know, okay, I may have crossed the line now into rehearsing something that God is saying, forget the former things now. Okay, but here's the thing, and this is what set me free from something that happened, and I was rehearsing it. I was rehearsing it, talking about it. My wife can tell you. We're going to sit down and have a cup of coffee, and I'm like bringing that up again. And I'm like, can you believe they did this? Can you believe they did that? I think this, I think that. And I'm rehearsing it over and over and over again, and I'm stressing her out. And I'm stressing myself out, and it is not helping. And God said, step back, Matt. Look at this. What did you learn from it? Well, God, I learned this, I learned that, I learned that. He said, that is the value of what you're going to take from this. This is your conclusion. You are going to shut this book and stop talking about it. Because you learned everything you needed to learn. You do not need to rehearse it again because the rehearsing is not helping you. You're going to shut the book. And now, and this is what the Lord showed me to do. Every time the thought comes into my mind, the memory of it, okay? Out of your mouth, Matt, this is what you're going to say. I have made my conclusion. That's it. Very simple and short. I have made my conclusion. I've made my conclusion about who you are. Okay? Until you change and show me you're different, I have made my conclusion about who you are. Praise God. The book is closed. And I close the book. And you know what I do? I take the thought captive, like what the Bible says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I take the thought captive and I say, you know what? It ain't taking my mind. It ain't taking space in my head, my energy, my time today. And I just say out loud, I've made my conclusion and I shut it down. And I shift to something else. And I shift to something else. And when I'm tempted to talk about it again, I say out loud, I have made my conclusion. And you know what happened? I had to do it a few times, but guess what happened? Eventually, it stopped coming to my mind. It stopped being an issue. It stopped being something that just was there all the time, ready to be talked about. It was settled. I learned what I needed to learn. I made my conclusion. And the moment I made that conscious choice, I was free from it. I was free from it. This is how you get free from offense. This is how you get free from getting stuck in it, because you learn what you need to learn, you make your conclusion, and you choose now to forget the former things. Now, you can forget it in the sense that it's not always there thinking about it, but you don't forget what you learned. Okay. You don't forget what you learned. Okay, because sometimes we have the perspective, oh, we're just going to forgive and let it back in. Okay, because what happens is if you forgive and just let stuff back in, guess what? It repeats. It repeats. And God doesn't want you to keep letting trauma into your life. He doesn't want you to keep inviting stuff into your life. It's like, no, you learn, you forgive, you learn, and then there are boundaries there. Healthy ones. So when this scripture says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. But right before it, it says, you got to not keep remembering the former things. Okay? And I realize, okay, God, you're doing a new thing. You're doing a new thing in my life, a new thing in the church, a new thing in my family, a new thing wherever that new thing applies to you. Okay, God, but now what former things do I really need to bring to conclusion so they are not weighing me down as I go into the new? Oh, hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the scripture says in Joel that he restores the years. Okay. It's not just like I survived it and made it through and praise God. Look, it's no longer part of your identity. It's part of your story, but it's not your identity. Okay. Something can be part of your story, but not part of you. Okay. But when God says he restores the lost years, within that word restore in the book of Joel is the root word even connected to shalom, which is peace. It means peace. It means to make complete, to make whole. So when God says, I'm going to restore the years, you see, because here we are on the timeline of our life, trauma, fragmented peace, trauma, memory of pain, and we're on this timeline, and we've got brokenness on the timeline. God is saying, I'm going to restore the years, which means I'm going to speak shalom over your years, which means I'm going to speak completeness and wholeness over your timeline, which means what was broken over here, I'm going to make whole, which means what was traumatized over here, I'm going to make it new. And God makes you whole and you complete in the process, and he does it over the years of your life, where he speaks peace, okay, where you can come to a place of peace where you say, God, I'm not going to live in regret. I'm not going to live with this. I'm not going to live with that. I come to a place of peace, even with the past. And God, as you restore the years, you're also going to add back to me here what was lost over there. And God, you can even create space and time over here for me to experience the blessing that I should have had over there, but Lord, now I'm going to experience it here. And you can create the space in my timeline. You can create the space in my life for the restoration to happen. Does that make sense? Like, let's say a relationship was affected over here in a real negative way. Things came in and it was like problems or whatever. But now you're over here. God's like, you know what? I'm going to create some extra space in your time, in your life, and you're going to get to experience good things that you didn't over there. It's part of how he restores years. I believe God can even add years on. He could increase the quality of your years now to make up for that over there. He can make the whole thing whole, the whole thing complete. And that's what he does, how he restores us. Isn't that awesome? So we have to come to a place where we do forget former things, where we do move into the new, because we are in a season where God is saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Conclude these things over here. Conclude them and let them go, because they don't define you. They're not going to control you. In fact, because of these things, you're going to be more blessed over here. And I feel like God does that. He makes up for things. He's like, okay, you went through that over here. I'm going to give you extra blessing over here. I recently ministered somewhere. 1,000 people. Pastor received a 20-minute offering. Preached, prayed over 1,000. I think I laid hands on everyone. Poured out. They sent me away with a thank you. And I was like, Jesus. Test my heart, God. Purify my heart. Purify my heart, God. And I'm like, Lord, I know that was a big offering. Purify my heart, God. Yeah, here's your Starbucks. Thank you, you know. Yeah, I think they bought me a Starbucks. Praise God. But it was like, thank you. And it was a test of my heart. It was. But then I come here today, and God is like, Matt, I'm going to heal that. Because right after that happened, I come home and my kids start throwing money on me. Okay? That's what happened. I came home and, Daddy, it's raining money on you. Was healing my heart from feeling used and abused. And now I come here today. You don't even know this is part of the process of even God saying, Matt, you're my son. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. And God used you this morning in part of my process. Oh, how many are ready to step into the new? We're going to step in. We're going to step into the new. Now, we're going to pray in a minute, but after service, you know, I always hang out in the foyer. We put this together just recently. It's called Rewire Your Neural Pathways, Shift Your Brain's Biochemistry, and Break Trauma Loops. And we did a whole course on it. And if you want to keep growing and learning in that area, your words even shift your biochemistry. There's so much about this. So we have a new course out there on that. And then we have a new course called Break Generational Iniquities and Transform Your Family Line. It's how to identify family iniquities coming down the line and how to be the chain breaker so that it stops in your family. How to be the chain breaker to break that junk from coming down your family line and new things are released, right? So we got that one. And then we have so much more out there. And, please check it out. It's there for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, how many of you God speaking to you today through this? He's like maybe highlighting something. How many are ready to put everything in God's hands and say, God, I trust you. I want to rest. I want to enter into rest. I want to trust you, and I want to walk with those living waters, and I want to walk in that freedom and into the new, right? Just stand up to your feet because we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. There's an anointing. You see, for every season, there's an anointing. For every transition, there's a grace. Understand this. For every transition, there is a grace. He will grace you to transition. He will grace you to shift. And there, I believe even this morning, there's a divine grace coming to you that is going to help you really shift. Really shift. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you today that you are here and you are equipping us and anointing us and bringing us through.